This is Jeff Cummings with Swimming World Radio. In the past 12 months, the American and NCAA record in the 1650-yard freestyle has withstood some tough challenges by some of distance swimming's greatest swimmers. The man who has held the record for 7 years, Chris Thompson, is here to talk about the recent assaults on his seemingly unreachable record and what he's been up to these days. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to do this.
Before we talk about the 1650 record that you set in 2001, I want to go back about 6 months to the Olympic Games in Australia. And you won a bronze medal in the 1500 meter freestyle and became the second American in history to go under 15 minutes. It seemed like everybody was concentrating on the battle between Grant Hackett and Kieran Perkins, who took the gold and the silver. And I imagine that being down there in Sydney, it was pretty hard to not notice all the attention on those two, but how were you able to remain focused and get the job done and get that bronze medal and go under 15 minutes?
It was really exciting down in Sydney because obviously they love swimming down there, and the fact that they are so into distance swimming and that every day there was something in the paper about Hackett and Perkins, it wasn't really a distraction at all because it was just kind of made me more excited. Hopefully some of the other swimmers as well, just seeing how much they love swimming and how much they were excited about it, you know. And you know, going in, we all knew that those were the two favorites. I mean, you know, the world record holder and the guy that had been, you know, in Perkins, and then Hackett, you know, the up-and-coming guy that had put up some extremely impressive times, especially back in '99 at that same pool. You went in the mid 1440s, and so both those guys are way up there. And so, you know, we just wanted to go out there and race them. And obviously, I had goals I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to get under 15 minutes and get on the podium, and then if I could, you know, go into the time that Vint went at trials. And so I had my own goals for that race, and fortunately everything went kind of how I'd like, you know, and I couldn't really ask for anything more from that performance. I accomplished all three of those. So
sure, yeah. And then you had to get back in the water right away, get ready to represent the University of Michigan at the 2001 NCAAs. Was it kind of hard to make that transition?
Not for me. A lot of people, you know, want to take that break after the games, but for me it was going into my senior year, and obviously I wanted to you know, have a good one, and coming off, you know, the previous 3 years where I'd been second so many times in the 1500 or 1650, I didn't seize. I definitely wanted to, you know, get an opportunity to hopefully get up there and win the race finally after so many seconds. And it was easy for me to get back in and start focusing on the next goal at hand. Of course, the time by Tom Dolan, you know, the 1429 that he had, that was obviously up there too. So I had plenty of motivation to get right back in and start training, and that's pretty much what I did after a week or two break. I just, you know, kind of jumped right back in and said, you know what, I'll have time later to take a break. For now, it's get right back on track. And obviously, John Urbanchek was very supportive of me, and you know, we all knew what we needed to do to get to those times, and so it was, you know, all across the board, I had all the support I needed to keep focusing on and work toward it.
Right. Let's go to March 24, 2001, the day you set your record in the 1650. Were you aware at any point in the race that you were going faster than Tom had been going?
Yeah, my whole goal was just to go out there and race as hard as I could and get an early lead and just get out in front and just keep pushing every 100 and, you know, slowly chip away at it. You know, throughout the race, I knew I was going really well. Obviously, I was pretty far ahead of Eric Vint and Siciliano and everyone else. So that was definitely exciting. After the 1,000 point, you hear people cheering and stuff, and you know, that was really nice. That helped me finish. That last 500 hurt really bad, but having the people there in the stands cheering for me, it was, you know, I heard them cheering, and that helped me finish up the race, and you know, finished, and everything worked out.
What did it feel like to see that time on the scoreboard?
To beat a record from someone that, you know, as great as Tom Dolan was. I mean, you know, the guy's an amazing swimmer. And, you know, the interesting thing about that weekend was the time I did in the 1650 and the time that Tim Siciliano had done in the 400 IM at that meet, and, you know, performances by some of the guys on the Texas Relay, and then the 500 free where we battled there till a close time. All of our performances put together were pretty much not equal to what one guy, Tom Dolan, did, you know, at the 95 meet. I mean, because he was so amazing at that meet. You know, all these events that all of us had to come together to swim fast in, he did it all by himself. So we were just trying to, you know, be able to match something like what he did. It was just amazing.
But it had to be a good feeling, you know, like you said, you had been second so many times, and, you know, to finally your senior year to put together that one special race. And I understand you also got second in the 500 at that meet, right, your senior year?
Yeah.
So it
Yeah, I got
probably was a
second.
little bit extra fuel to the fire.
Yeah, definitely. And the 500 free, Cleet and I had a pretty good race there, and I was ahead most of the way, and then he, you know, Cleet always came back fast in the races, and he actually caught up to me and got a tiny bit ahead of me, which, you know, and then I thought I came back on him pretty well, and I thought I had him going into the wall, and I just didn't quite get the hand in there properly. Yeah, definitely, when I finished that 1650 and saw the number one there and saw the great time and everything, it was, you know, super exciting, and, of course, adding in that Tim Siciliano finished second, you know, so having Michigan go 1-2 in that race, it was definitely probably the perfect ending to my college swimming career.
Yeah. So for, you know, the next 5 or 6 years, you know, nobody had really was coming within, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds of your time. And then all of a sudden last year at the NCAA's, Larson Jensen's going after the record. Were you in Minneapolis watching the race?
No, I wasn't there for that race. I was on the phone, though, talking to people again. I usually try to get on the phone and have people update me on how they're doing and hear the splits and stuff. And it's kind of a, you know, I get excited for it every year.
So were you actually thinking that he was going to do it that year?
I believed he had a chance. I thought Eric had a chance, actually, a couple of years before that. He went, I think, 14:29 or 28, I think, 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And even I thought maybe even Vanderkay might have a shot at it. Actually, I mean, the time, obviously, it's you know, it's extremely fast and really good, but I always thought I could have even gone a little faster. And just by the way I swam the race and seeing how good, you know, Larson is long course and seeing how good Vint is, 1500, I thought these guys could, you know, easily get under the 1650 time. So it's kind of, you know, it was a relief and, you know, exciting for me that they just missed it. You know, so it's kind of, you know, obviously I have a lot of pride in that swim and seeing them just kind of miss it, you know, it's like, all right, you know, I still got it. And, you know.
And then last January, you know, Eric Vint at the Grand Prix meet in Long Beach, and then he misses it by just a few tenths.
Yeah, it was another close call there, and another, you know, a great swim for him. I mean, they came off of an altitude training camp, and they were totally beat up and, you know, destroyed. And so the fact that he was able to put together a great swim like that at the meet like that without racing anyone kind of reminds me of how when I did it, you know, I didn't have anyone to race against either, so... he was in this kind of the same situation, just out there way ahead. I'm not sure how far I think he might have lapped everybody in the field when he swam that. So, you know, again, he had a tough go at it, and he went after it. And I talked to him after the race, and I said, you know, that was an amazing swim, man. You know, it's super fast, and, you know, just there and just missed it. And he reminded me that, you know, we kind of joked about, you know, he's like, yeah, man, your last 50 was, you know, really fast. I remember I looked back, and I was like a 24.8 my last 50 of that race. So, those guys, you know, they're under it at the 1600 point, and they just didn't quite have enough left in the tank to get it home. But, you know, obviously those guys are all swimming really fast and really well. So.
Yeah, and then the same thing happened this weekend. The NCAA's in Federal Way, Washington. Sebastian Ruo is going, and he's under the record pace, I think, from the 500 all the way down to the 1600. And then, you know, he's not able to match that last 50 that you had. You know, before the race, were you thinking, you know, this has to be it, you know, third time's a charm. He's going to really go after it. It's his senior year as well.
Since he got to Georgia as a freshman, I knew that that'd be one of his goals, that he'd be going after it. So I kind of always assumed that at some point he'd give it a really good go. Following the splits and stuff, he was actually out kind of slow the first 500 or 600. He actually descended really well. His third 500 was real fast. And at that point, I thought he was going to get it. I was watching it on the computer, watching it just on the video thing, the live video feed, and trying to watch the splits as they came up. So I was kind of watching it, and he looked really good throughout the race. And he had Troy Prizo there, you know, also from Georgia, giving him pushing him. And so they, you know, they had a really good race going on there, and they pushed them, and they pushed each other, and they actually had both really, really good swims. We'll see how long it keeps holding on, I guess.
Well, as you said, the thing that really stands out is that last 50. I mean, 24:46 after 1,600 yards is pretty amazing. I mean, obviously, I mean, like you said, everybody's been under it until, you know, that last 50. I mean, what do you think it is about that last 50 that you had?
I think for me, that last 50 was so fast because, you know, there I was that far ahead, and I'm finishing up my senior year, and I'm going in, and, going to finally get an NCAA win after so many second places and third places, you know. I think I just had that extra little oomph I needed to get home, and just, you know, I'm like, I'm going to finish this race because I'm finally going to get the W, and, you know, I got a chance at this record. So I think that really helped get me home there at the end of that race. When I had to dig deep to get home in a race, in a close race or a race that, you know, I wanted to really finish in, I was always able to dig deep and kind of find that.
If you are a distance swimmer and you're swimming something like the mile, whether short course or long course, digging deep is something that you really do have to do in order to finish.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the races are so grueling, and you know, they're long and they're tough, and you're going at high speed throughout the whole way, and being able to find that little bit at the end there definitely takes a lot of work. It's just all the years of training kind of pay off for you at the end of that race, and you know, and it's not really explainable what, you know, I can't really describe exactly what it is that helps you get you home at the end. It's just something in there that if you have that will and desire and you want to finish it, you know, sometimes you can find it there. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have been in that case too. I think another situation that comes to mind in that is, you know, watching Misty Hyman come home on that 200 fly at the 2000 games. You know, we'd never seen her finish one. Usually, you know, we always kind of joke that, you know, she always kind of fell off that last 50, but at that Sydney race, you know, she was able to dig deep and find a way to bring it home and get home and get the gold medal, you know, and just off the world record there. So, you know, a lot of swimmers are able to kind of, sometimes we can dig deep and find that last little bit, and that's something about sport, I think, what you see happen a lot, even in other sports, you see those guys come through at the end, you know, get that big home run at the end, or, you know, have that touchdown run or whatever. It's something that happens in sport, and, you know, the people that are able to dig deep and find out how to finish it, you know, can be successful.
Right, right. Now, when I'm hearing you talk about, you know, your experiences of, you know, listening on the phone with the splits and watching it on the live feed, it sounds like you kind of have mixed feelings about your record not being broken. It sounds like, you know, you have this relief that, yeah, it survived, it's going to survive another year or so, but you're also kind of like, it seems a little bit disappointed that it's still there. I mean, what do you think it is?
I definitely have a lot of pride that it's still there, and I'm happy it's there, and I definitely want to stick around, you know, and it's just a testament to kind of all the work that I put in and all the work that so many people helped get me there. I mean, you know, it's all my teammates at Michigan that helped me accomplish that, and, you know, swimming under John Urbanchek, you know, I mean, there's not too many records that are left in the books that came out of, you know, what John Urbanchek did, you know, what he did as a coach, and, you know, as well as the late Eric Namzik, you know, these guys helped me become a great swimmer at Michigan and helped me be successful.
Well, I'm sure your record's on someone's eyes. I'm sure in the very near future, someone's going to make another run at it. So,
well, of course, it's a yearly thing, and, it, you know, people go after it and it's there, and it's good that it's there. You know, it gives people something to shoot for, just as Dolan gave us something, you know, gave us something to shoot for, and just as, you know, these guys, you know, I mean, Bobby Hack and Brian Goodell, guys from the 70s, and the stuff those guys did was amazing, and the fact that they were as fast as they were at that time is you know, I have no idea how those guys did it, because, I mean, you know, a lot of us, I mean, even in 2000, I had some new suit technology that we were using, and new training routines, and, you know, all kinds of new things that we were using, and the times I was putting up weren't that much faster than what those guys could go, you know, that 1500 especially.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the next challenge is going to be for that record, and we'll all be watching with you. So thanks for joining us, Chris. It was great to talk to you.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to talk, and yeah, it's a great time out there, and, you know, someone's going to get it eventually, and we'll see, you know, when they can do it, but I'll be watching every year, and hopefully guys keep going after it. And, you know, it's good that it's a good sign that shows that distance swimming is staying alive in the U.S. and people are chasing after it. So
exactly,
it's very good.
Well, this is Jeff Cummings with Swimming World Radio. Thanks for listening.